The scripture reading this morning will be taken from the gospel according to John. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 3. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 3. We'll be reading from the King James Version, and the Bible reads, I am thine, true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you.
What a blessing it is for us to be here on this morning. This month, we're going to be talking about allowing God to prune us and making that choice to allow God to prune us, to purge us. I'm excited about this month because of the great benefits of it. And the reason why I'm excited about it is because when I think about even my own personal life and I think about some of the things that need to go away, I think about some of the people that need to go away. I think about some of the thought processes that need to be purged and pruned. It caused me to rejoice. When I think about John 15 and considering bearing fruit, friends, when we consider our spiritual lives, it is about bearing fruit. It's about our lives being better. That should be our goal. Jesus would say in John 10 and verse 10, for the thief come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. God desires for us to have the abundant life, an extravagant life, a good life, a spiritual life, an uplifting life. When we consider this, we have to ask ourselves, what will it require? Friends, it will require us remaining connected, attached to the vine. But not just to the vine, but the true vine. As I was considering John 15 and been looking at it all week and really just basking in it and thinking about true, that which is without falsehood, that which is sincere, genuine. But vine, what's the vine? That coiling type of plant, if you will. I remember when I was a kid, we used to play with vines all the time. And I used to squeeze the vine and that sappy stuff used to come out and it was sticky. Jesus says, I am the true vine. I'm the one you need to be attached to so that which is within me can be in you. Brother Ryan, that's excellent, isn't it? That which is in Christ can be in me. I think about the vine, the actual, like a watermelon vine. When you think about a grapevine, that which is in the vine is actually in the fruit. And Jesus says something very interesting, that he is the true vine. And his Father is the husbandman. He's the vine dresser. He's the one that toils and tills and digs around, if you will. But he says something that is very encouraging. If you notice in the text, he says, every branch, that which is attached to the vine, the true vine, that we may receive the spiritual sap, if you will, in order for that which is in Christ can be in us if we're going to produce the fruit that God desires for us to produce, we must be attached to the Christ. Springtime is here. Brother Mike, I don't know, it's cold. I understand. But according to the calendar, springtime is here. And this is a time for us to clean, to organize, to rearrange, to put away, to regroup. And we find things to kind of make straight, if you will. Friends, it should be the same for us individually as members of the Lord's church, as human beings, as American citizens, but also as the church of Christ together, collectively. When we consider spring cleaning, that should be an opportunity for you to say, okay, I haven't used that in a year, 5 years, 10 years. It needs to go. But not to the hoarders. Not to the ones that want to keep things around. Understandably. There are sentimental values to all types of things that we have. But if we're going to clean and spring clean and get rid of those things that are needing to be gotten rid of, friends, we got to throw some things away. We have to get rid of some things. Because our spiritual lives are the same way. If we're going to bear fruit, and if we're going to bear more fruit, then there are some things that we must allow God to get rid of in our lives. God wants to purge. He wants to prune us. But if you notice the text, look at the text. And Brother Cortland, as I was studying this and reading this and looking at this, I said, hold on. It's interesting how you can be thinking one thing, but when you read the text, study the text, meditate upon the text, you're like, hold on, that's not what the text says. But notice what he says in the text. In verse number 2, every branch in me. I want us to talk real quick about what does it mean to be in me? We're going to talk about that for a second. Because God wants to produce fruit. He wants us to produce fruit. And so before we actually look at that, look at Mark chapter 4 and look at verses 19 and 20. In Mark chapter 4, verses 19 and 20, the parable of the sower, if you will, Jesus gives the purpose and he explains this parable. In verse number 19, he says, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and notice, the desires for other things enter in, choke. You choke the word. So I was pondering that, Brother Jerry, and I said, choke? When we consider the idea of choking, it's the idea of not receiving enough air. And that ought to cause us to think about God's word and how God's word is God breathed. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration. Theopneustos, God breathed. God's word is our breath, if you will. But what happens when we allow other things to come in and choke out the word? Notice what he goes on to say. It becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, number one, accept it, number two, bear fruit, number three, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. When I considered that and I thought about bearing fruit, I have to allow God's word to have free reign in my heart that I may be able to spiritually breathe. But there are things that we allow in our lives, people we allow in our lives that actually cause us to choke out. So John 15 and in verse number 2 where he says, every branch in me. And so I was thinking about this from a Jewish perspective. Taking it out of the Western world, put it in the scriptures, put it in its context, and it made me think about Romans 7. Turn your Bibles to Romans 7. Because it says, every branch in me. Well, what does it mean to be in me? Galatians 3, 26, 27, we understand in order to get in Christ, one has to be baptized into Christ. And when they're baptized into Christ, Paul, by inspiration, says you put on Christ. You get in Christ. Christian. But to the Jew, think about this. 1,500 years, you're under the law of Moses. You're keeping the law system of Moses. You knew Messiah was coming. You knew that the law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, Galatians 3, 24 and following. You knew that. Here he come, and now you're denying him, Luke 19 and verse number 14, saying that we will not allow this man, we will not have this man to reign over us. We don't want him. Mm-mm. Paul, by inspiration, says in Romans 7, verses 1 through 4, he uses marriage to make an excellent point. Keep this in mind. Here, the Jews, God's chosen people. Okay, here come the Christ. He lives under the law. He dies under the law. He nails the law to the Christ, to the cross. And now every man, if they want to bear fruit unto God, must get in Christ. Very interesting. The Jew, they're fighting that. Paul makes this point. Verses 1 through 4. Don't have time to read all of that. Drop down to verse number 3. You read verse number 1 and 2 for yourself. Verse number 4, rather. He says, therefore, my brethren, you also, having become dead to the law of Moses, through the body of Christ, him on the cross, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead. Talking about the Christ. That we should bear fruit to God. Now think about that from a Jewish perspective. Ryan, I'm a Jew. I'm thinking I'm bearing fruit unto God. I'm under the law of Moses. And here come Paul. Well, at one time, Pharisee of the Pharisees, understood that he was zealous for the law. But now he's preaching Christ. And if I'm going to bear fruit unto God, I got to go through Christ. That's interesting. But now you're married to another. Not Moses, then you're married to the Christ. Which means that if a Jew wasn't in Christ, he, she was no longer bearing fruit unto God. Why? Because they had to get in Christ in order to bear fruit to God. Well, if that's the case for a Jew, that's the case for someone in denominationalism. You got to be in Christ to bear fruit to God. You see why it's so important for us to teach and preach the gospel to people? You see why it's so important for us to live the life of Christ? See why it's so important for us as the people of God to allow God to work through us so people can see our good works, Matthew 5, verses 16, and glorify our Father which is in heaven? Friends, it's so important for us to understand that. Why? Because God put salvation in Christ. 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 10. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's no other name under heaven given among men that we must be saved. The name of Jesus Christ. No other foundation can anyone lay than that which is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse number 9 through 11. What are we saying? What's going on here? That if we're going to bear fruit unto God, friends, we have to be in Christ. But go back to John 15. Friends, when we consider being in Christ, we have to be faithful, trustworthy. God has to be able to rely upon us. I want to encourage us. Let's do all that we can to be faithful, to be trustworthy. That when God sends us out on a task, we actually go and do the task. But if you notice, point two, if you consider the text, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Friends, let me just read some of the things that I have here. Being unfruitful or not showing usefulness is dangerous. And we put ourselves in a position that we walk away from God. We don't want that. That's dangerous. That's a dangerous place to be in life. Number two under that, not growing in our spirituality puts us in danger. But what do we mean by that? Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and notice what Paul was pleading with the church at Corinth about. What causes us? What causes teenagers? What causes marriages? What causes us as Christians to not hear God? To put ourselves in a position where we walk away from the Christ. We walk away from God. We detach ourselves from the true vine, if you will. Verse 1, and I, brethren, Paul, speaking by inspiration, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. He said, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you're still not able. And he gives a reason, for you're still carnal. For where there's envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Paul says, I need you to grow. I need you to develop. I need you to be spiritual. You have to come out of the carnal mindset. And this world that we live in, it is so carnal. Brother Royce is so worldly sometimes. And when we find ourselves inundated, when we find ourselves associated with it for so long, for so often, we find ourselves wanting to deal with things the way that the world deals with things. But God desires for us to be a spiritual people, Galatians 5:16, to have the mind of Christ. And so, to being unfruitful, not growing, not being involved in the work of Christ or the work of the church causes us to be idle. Remember, he takes it away. God is the one that is doing the dunging. He's the one that's doing the cutting. Jesus is the vine. We must keep ourselves attached to the vine, lest God come and he takes it away. So in Luke 9:23, we must be willing to give ourselves up. If we're going to allow God to prune us, we have to offer God what he desires. Turn your Bibles to Isaiah 61. I was studying with a good brother from Abilene. We study every Friday. And we're going through the book of Isaiah. Got to chapter 61 and it's talking about how the Gentiles were going to be benefiting from the righteousness of God, from the gospel, from the Messiah coming. And, well, God is a little bit upset with his people. And in Isaiah 61 and verse number 8, we understand that the Israelites went into Assyrian captivity, but then Judah was going to be going into Babylonian captivity. And God gives reasons why they were going to be going into captivity. And one of the reasons that he gave here in verse number 8, for I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery, notice, for burnt offerings. I will direct their work in truth and will make with them an everlasting covenant. Hold on, I hate robbery for burnt offerings. God's people were actually stealing. They were stealing their burnt offerings and offering it up to God. Like, hold on, God's people would never do that. Hold on, would a man rob God? Sure will. Turn your Bibles to Malachi. It's the last book of the Old Testament, chapter 1. The reason why I'm bringing out this point, because when we consider pruning and purging, and as God's people, sometimes we can be so associated with the world around us, we can move away from God and not even know it. And it made me think about Samson, one of the strongest men that ever lived, if you will, strength-wise. He came up with a woman, and Delilah, and, well, she captivated his attention, cut his hair off, and Bible demonstrates to us that God left him. He didn't know it. But then you flip that, and you come across the first king of Israel, Saul, and, well, Saul got to a point where he was offering things and acting as if he was a priest, yet he was a king. He didn't have authority and got to a point where God wouldn't even speak to him. And he even told Samuel, God's not even speaking to me no more. Malachi chapter 1, these are God's people. Look at verse number 8. God's people had gotten so far away from God, so far away from the vine, if I can say it that way. And when you offer the blind as sacrifice, is it not evil? These are God's people. And when you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? He says, offer to the governor. See if he'll take it. Drop down to verse 13. In verse number 13, he says, you also say, oh, what a weariness. And you sneer at it, says the Lord of hosts. And you bring the stolen, the lame, and the sick. Thus, you bring an offering. Should I accept this from your hand? Says the Lord. What are you saying, Brother Mike? Hold on. If I'm going to be attached to the vine, I need to be attached to the vine. I have to make my mind up. I'm going to be attached to the vine. Friends, I'm not just talking to you. I'm talking to me. I'm talking to me. And then I'm reminded of old King David. when he sinned against God, and Araunah wanted to give him a threshing floor and all of the sacrifices that was needed, Brother Evan, in order to offer it up to God. And he said, I will not sacrifice anything unto God that cost me nothing. If I'm going to be attached to the Christ, if I'm going to remain connected to the vine, if I'm going to put myself in a position that I'm not taken away, I got to make sure that I give God my best. Question. When you woke up this morning, did you have your mind made up to give God the best that you had this morning? So we have to give up some things. I believe we need to give up some time. If we're going to bear fruit to God, we need to give up some time for God. We need to give our bodies. Brother Ryan brought out Romans 12 in helping us to remember the Lord's death till he returns, verse 1 and 2. Friends, we need to give our bodies up for the Lord. We're utensils in the hands of God. We need to give up our resources for God. If we're going to bear fruit to God, Proverbs 3 and verse 9, we need to give up our lives. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse number 5. We need to give up our lives. Friends, one of the hardest things to do, Luke 9, 23, is giving up self. And no wonder Jesus, and he said it right, and he's always right. If any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, follow me. Go to John 15, let's close. Yeah, I'm closing. Believe it or not, Chad, I'm closing. Get your songbook ready. Wow. And every branch that bears fruit. Wow. Brother Jerry, this is where I had to learn. I'm like, hold on. God's cutting off. Yeah, he's cutting off. But those who are doing his will, those who are bearing fruit, you consider the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Those who are actually doing the will of God in their life, working out their salvation with fear and trembling, Philippians 2 and 12. Those who are actually striving to be spiritual in their mind, that's interesting. Those who are striving to give their bodies as living sacrifices, those who are really doing what is right, God says, I'm pruning them. I'm purging them. Why? I want them to bear more. You know, that's an incentive to do right. God says, I want you to do right so I can prune you so you can do more. Hold on, how does that happen? Chastening, correction. When you're studying and reading God's word and you come across some things and you're really striving to become more like your Savior. Man, I need to get rid of that. You actually go to the word of God, John 3, 19 through 21, and you're looking for the light. You're looking for things that you can improve on in your heart, in your mind, in your life, in your marriage. As a Christian. Like, you know what? I need to get rid of that. Y'all remember a few months back I said that I had a problem with YouTube? Y'all remember that? I'm 6 days clean. I know that sounds kind of, but it's true. And that's the only way I can say it. I'm 6 days clean. I haven't even looked at it. Those first 2-3 days was tough, though. I'll be honest with you. Ryan, it was tough. But now it's like fasting. You know, the first couple of hours. And then you get to about 15, 16, be like, then you get around 24 and not even thinking about food. Get to 36 and be like, you know, hey, I got a little pepper in my step. I'm doing pretty good. You get about 48 and man, things just start clearing up in your mind. 72, you'd be like, this is foolish. I got to find something to eat. Right? Hold on. You know, it's the same when it comes to cleaning up your mind. I didn't realize how polluted my mind was. I've done more reading in scripture, more meditating. I got two good men that I work with, Leon and and Evan Royce too, he comes. But you're talking about being around spiritual people 4 or 5 days a week. You can't help but get better. I truly believe that God sent Leon and Evan to save my life. And he has, and I'm thankful. I've cleaned some stuff out of my heart. Question. Do you have enough vine sap in you? Do you have enough of God's word in you? We'll deal with that next week, verse 4 and 5. Do you have enough of God's word in you to cut some things out of your life? I'll go even further. Do you have enough spiritual sap in you to cut some people out of your life? Be like, you know what? You and I don't jive no more. You and I can't hang out no more. We can't talk no more. We can't text no more. Why? Because when we talk, I don't get closer to Christ. Why do we hold on to things that are not helping us get closer to Christ? So maybe some of y'all need to throw your phone away. Maybe some of y'all need to throw some people away. Or maybe some people need to throw you away. Brother Mike, why would you say that? Because there are some people in our lives that are not helping us get closer to the Lord. And we have to ask ourselves the question. Is it wrong to cut things out that God wants us to cut out? Absolutely not. Friends, God wants us to be pure in heart. Is what you're watching and doing and putting yourself around promoting purity? Yes or no? Matthew 5 verse 8. If you're allowing God's word to purify your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, are you doing that? 1 Peter 1, 22 and 23, are you doing that? Friends, we need to be a people who are allowing God to cut things and people out of our lives in order for us to be better. One last set of passages, and Chad, you can walk up here. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. In 1 Chronicles chapter 4, we come across a man by the name of Jabez. He's a powerful man. Only two passages about him. But he's so powerful. He's such a great man of God. Verse 9 and 10 of 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed. He wanted God to bless him. But what did he want? He wanted to enlarge his territory. He wanted more responsibility. He wanted more to do with God, if you will. Give me more responsibility, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. And what did God do? He granted him his request. The more I considered this and the more I thought about this, the more I'm thankful, friends, that we have one another. And we ought to be asking God for more responsibility. Help me to be more spiritual, to be more pure. Help me to have more righteousness. Help me to be holier than what I am right now. I'm embarrassed of the impurities that I've allowed over the years. I'm like, the closer I get to God, the more I read his word, the more I meditate upon it. Why am I? Stop that. It's like God saying, stop that. Don't do that. Why? Because I want you to live with me now and in eternity. Amen. Some people want to play church, but you can't play Christian. Friends, and the very fact that you're here demonstrates that you want to be better. Maybe not a child of God, not a Christian. Chad, come on up, please. so I can stop. The way that God can prune you, you got to get in his son. You already heard the gospel. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins. Confess Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water for the remission of your sins. God will do something amazing in your life. He'll wash away all of your sins through the blood of his son. And because of your obedience to his son, your appeal for a clean conscience before him, 1 Peter 3:21, with the blood of his son, Hebrews 9:14, he'll cleanse your conscience from dead work. Now you can serve the living God. And be faithful, which means spend the rest of your lifetime getting rid of all of the impurities in your life. Because that's how long it's going to take. It's going to take your whole life to do it. And I'm so thankful for a long-suffering and patient God that allows that. God is more long-suffering than us. He gives us time. And he's not so quick to cut us off like men are. God is so long-suffering. If you leave it to any Bible student, we'll tell you, we'd have gotten rid of Israel quicker than God did. But God is not like man. Praise be to God. But maybe you're a child of God and you need special prayer because you have so much defilement in your mind that you don't even look like Christ in your own mind. Been there, done that. That's not a good place to be in your life. That's dangerous. You can be cut off even though you're still in the assembly. Don't be like that, friends. All month we're going to be talking about pruning and purging. Come back next week, please, as we stand, as we sing our Savior's invitation.